Welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live on this fine day, the 23rd of November, 2022. As I've noted in recent weeks, this show is now only on Wednesdays at 2 Central, 3 Eastern. It used to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Couldn't keep that up with my other news demands, etc. I'm in something like my third week, Wednesday only. Who's keeping track, right, Ron Avery?
Yes.
Needless to say, that indicates Ron Avery is joining me once again today, and he is video live streaming this show. The video simulcast, as always, is at livestream.com/ Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, / stop the presses. A big flurry of letters and words there, but it gets you there. And it archives there, just like the audio-only archives at republicbroadcasting.org. Hello to Julie at the board. Hello, everybody out there. It is the day after the JFK 59th year anniversary. I've been trying to get a hold of my research partner on that subject, Brian David Anderson. Lately, I have not been able to get a hold of him. I thought he might chime in today or next week. I'm kind of looking at next week where we might look at some new aspects or at least lesser known aspects of that issue. I'm going to see about that. I was contacted by Mary Bailey, who is a longtime RBN listener and caller. I believe she's doing her own show to some extent. And this is my understanding. So if she's listening out there, I'm still working on getting Brian on here because she wanted to announce it on her show, a show I understand is coming, pending, that Brian was going to be on my show. And when? I don't know yet is the answer. So,
we might want to make another announcement, Mark. The book drive at RBN is still going on till January the 7th, I believe.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. Come one, come all. Get involved in the book drive. Purchase what you can. Help RBN out. Matter of fact, I have some books I'd like to throw into the mix here before the government throws them on a bonfire or something, right? That sounds good. Of course, always figure out ways to donate, ladies and gentlemen, to RBN, book drive or no book drive. And yes, you can still buy bumper stickers that promote Ron and mine show. Ron, remind me, I'm a little rusty on that one. Is that, what's the name of that website where you can go buy all sorts of stickers, but including stickers that promote RBN and our particular shows?
It's libertystickers.com, and they have an advertisement with RBN just for libertystickers.com, and you get all kind of political bumper stickers there, but you can also get the specialized bumper sticker for my show and for your show by going to our homepage at RBN, and it'll have bumper sticker there, and you click on it, takes you directly to your bumper sticker. They're $4.25, and you get half of it, and Liberty Stickers gets the other half.
Right, but it promotes RBN. That's a good icing on the cake to go along with direct donations to RBN, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Very important. Be there, be square, as they say. Even a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there. I hear a lot of things in the alternative media, subscribers to the alternative media. Well, I can't afford this and I can't afford that. Well, a lot of times it's just $5 here, $5 there. If every listener or reader gave a few bucks, there'd be tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases.
Yeah.
And it's always this sort of, if I can't give a lot, I don't want to give any. No, it's like the parable in the Bible. The woman that only had a few cents gave all she had, right, Ron?
That's right, yeah.
But anyway, what we're kicking off here, ladies and gentlemen, is probably the most important thing that I have ever done as a journalist. And Ron is a very helpful engineer in this and planner. We need, as I've said so many times, that narrative that the mass media cartel controls through hook and crook and every bit of deception and corruption and skullduggery they can. That narrative needs to come off of them and into the public domain where it helps everybody. They need to have that narrative removed from their control. And I mean in a very, very steadfast, steady, unrelenting, legal, but forceful way. Looking at their licensing, looking at everything that comprises and energizes and enables the mass media cartel to exist. It needs to be looked in its anatomy. Its entire anatomy needs to be dissected. We need to find out not just the big families that own it, and you know there's only five or six owners that own the whole thing. That's all well known, and that'll be included. That won't be excluded. But we need to know how, for instance, the big television magnates can, in a monopolistic fashion, right to the core, own the airwaves at the exclusion of all other would-be news people, at the exclusion of all other perspectives on myriad issues, and how they, in perpetuity, apparent perpetuity, can receive that kind of prize, that kind of concession.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's not just unjust, it's outright corrosive, it's murderous. It is fostering the deaths of tens of millions of people.
That's true. It's very destructive worldwide.
And that is through the abortuaries that it has defended. That is through the wars that it has helped propagate. That is through the COVID jabs that it has protected. This isn't funny, okay?
Right.
There's certain satire to look at, and sometimes you got to lighten the load in order to get through this. But what we want to do, ladies and gentlemen, and this is just sort of the initial heads up, the initial get the ball rolling, I want to head or co-head a webinar, a kind of a online conference, not a real big thing initially necessarily, but sometime in the early part of 2023, no later than the early spring, we need a groundswell to have a conference that focuses only on media matters. We're not going to go all over the place with all sorts of myriad issues, except to the extent that certain issues fall under the umbrella of media manipulation.
Right.
So in other words, you can talk about 9/11, you can talk about different issues, but you don't necessarily have to go into extravagant detail on any of those issues, but tie them into the umbrella topic of the media and how, suffice to say, in all these areas, we're denied the truth, and being denied the truth isn't just an inconvenience. It's not just being ill-informed. It's deadly,
right.
Literally deadly.
Yes, it can be shown that the mass media cartel has not covered much information that has come to public knowledge. They just simply won't repeat what the public knows. Even what the public knows at this point, they won't repeat it. They will not even report what the public knows. So what is with that? That needs to be exposed to the people that license these entities. Because, I mean, if the whole public knows it, what is wrong with the media that won't even report what the public knows?
That's an excellent point. Because the news producers, the big ones, the big kahunas in the system, have to know, unless they are just bone ignorant or negligent beyond belief, that the average person now, at least many more of the average people now, know a great deal more than the media is telling them.
Right.
It's not COVID, even though COVID is very, very pivotal, because if the media defends an injection that is potentially or actually harming and killing people, and it covers up everything that would expose that harm, then the media is complicit in a crime.
That's right.
And more people, probably an uncomfortable level of people from the mass media cartel's perspective, at least have some inkling that these jabs aren't what they were sold to us as.
And, exactly. And
great point, Ron. How can they knowingly undertell or ignore all these things that they have to know that we know, and try and keep us dumbed down, even though we're getting smarter than that dumbed down threshold. It's like they're pulling us back and going, no, no, you got to stay stupid here.
Yeah, we don't care if you do know the truth. We're still going to tell you that lie. I mean, that's how blatant some of this stuff is. We don't care if you know the truth. We're just not going to tell it to you. And we're going to keep telling you the lie. I mean, I think you ought to go to jail for that.
Well, certainly.
You not only lose your license, I think you ought to do a little hard time for that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the case if the media was a much more limited institution in its influence, if it didn't commandeer the airwaves, if other views were routinely heard.
Yes.
Then those that defend the jab would be offset by those that are more objective. There'd be less harm and less dying. And then it would be, I guess you'd say, less urgent to say, okay, you among the media, you're the ones that did it wrong, you go to jail. But when it's monopolistic, when all other views are excluded, and not only do they do that, but they call people pejoratives like anti-vaxxers and much worse than that, saying that those are the people responsible for the harm. So they double down on us. They don't just do what we're describing. They double down and say, you're not only wrong, you're the dangerous one. So they're using projection, accusing others of what they themselves are guilty of, which is the most tiresome technique. I can't believe more people can't see through projection. It's one of the most obvious psychological tools of psychological warfare there is. You simply transfer the blame to somewhere else and hope it sticks. So obvious, so ridiculously obvious. But ladies and gentlemen, what we want to do is you know, maybe with a half a dozen presenters for starters, let's just say, for example, including yours truly and Ron would be in there, et cetera. We want to just get the ball rolling and produce one big report or maybe biannual or quarterly reports, whatever it might be, in written and electronic form, the state of the mass media, whatever we might call it, and give some overview, some history, where did television come from, who was involved in developing television, how do they sort out the markets, how is licensing done, on what criteria, and this has always been the big one, Ron, what, if anything, does the licensing require of the license holder?
Right.
This is the huge question.
Yes, and you can find what they say about it at the Federal Communications Commission. FCC has a website, and they do tell you some of that. But what I'm amazed about is how do they figure that the mass media cartel, these major networks, have lived up to it? I believe they're not living up to even the stuff they have on the FCC website. But we do need to cover what that is. We need to look at that and put that in the show, and so that everybody can talk about it.
Right, and then there's the question that even if there are requirements, and even if the mass media cartel's different affiliates are meeting those requirements, air quote, are the requirements logical? Are they strict enough? Do they make sense? Do they cover enough ground? So it's not just whether they're following the requirements, right? It's what are those requirements, and what if they're way too weak? What if they're way too watered down?
Oh,
and
yeah.
What if? And here's the big one. What if they don't point out that the mass media cartel and its affiliates are pushing an obvious internationalist global agenda, but they're not saying that? And they're lying and misportraying themselves, misrepresenting themselves by claiming they're neutral when they're the furthest thing from neutral you can imagine, whether it's climate change, whether it's the COVID thing, whether it's the Second Amendment, First Amendment, a Second Amendment with regards to the mass shootings. Now there's another one in Walmart. There was just one a few days ago at that Colorado gay club, the Walmart's in Virginia. If all of them are pursuing the same objectives with the same biases and the same exclusions,
yes,
and then say, oh, no, we're the ones acting in the general broad public interest, so we get to commandeer the airwaves, we get these big fat licenses, But anyone else, oh, they have to scrupulously identify what their agenda is. The 700 Club has to, you know, be upfront. It's Christian. Catholic programming, you know what their objectives already are. But then David Muir comes on ABC and acts like he has no agenda. They're just...
That's right. Yeah, but, where they ought to have a big list of stuff on the side of the screen that shows you everything they're in favor of. You know, the global warming business and all the climate taxation, carbon taxes, and just have a list of all that garbage that they are pushing. Removal of the Second Amendment and confiscation of firearms and just our infringement upon the Second Amendment all the way down.
Yeah, can you imagine their mission statement? Our job is to globalize the economy, seize your firearms, smash the First Amendment under an iron boot, and send the big COVID needles after you. Have a nice day.
Yeah, can you imagine anybody that would sit there and continue to watch it then after reading that on the side of the panel, of the TV screen? I mean, you'd have to be an idiot to continue to watch that.
I would even go so far as to say that even those that favor those things that we just listed on that make-believe mission statement, if it were stated up front that blatantly, even they would scratch their head. Even though, let's just say, 25-somethings that tend to favor abortion and favor gun control, and then the media saying, yes, we favor abortion, we favor gun control. But if they were that upfront about it, the average listener, even young people that don't have a lot of wisdom in life, they might go, wait a minute here. Even I thought they were kind of neutral, and I agree with those things, but I'm a little uncomfortable with that. And maybe I'm going out on a limb, but I almost perceive that even those that agree with those objectives might chafe a little bit if they were stated up front.
Yeah, I think we could even go a step further, Mark. We could make a clear decal that we send out, and you stick it on your television screen. It's on the left side, and it says, for all those mass media entities.
Oh, my goodness, what an excellent idea to help.
Send you know, your friends that are into that kind of, into the mass media, send them that little decal, you know, just stick this on the side of your screen as you're watching.
Right. Disclaimer, you know, watch at your own peril. These and other stations across the mass media's landscape all believe in these exact same things.
And
I'm not going to give Fox News much of a mulligan here.
I wouldn't either. Yeah.
I mean, Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity are allowed a certain amount of rope limit, like a dog, you know, being able to wander away from its doghouse. But eventually they hit the rope limit, like in those Foghorn Leghorn cartoons. And I know we're coming up on the first break, but it's once you get beyond that and watch Fox News around the clock, 24 hours, you begin to see the exact same biases and globalistic tendencies as you do the other ones. It's just a little more muted. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh, I cut it off a little early. Well, 4 more seconds. Sorry about that, Mark. That was my fault. Sunshine, shine on.
Smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the feeling calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
And welcome to the next segment here on Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, 23 November 2022. I'm joined as usual by Ron Avery. We're video simulcasting to livestream.com/Ron Avery/Stop the Presses. As often noted, please give to support RBN at this very pivotal time. We need every element of the mass media, the alternative media, that is, to take on the mass media cartel. And we've been talking in the first segment, Ron and I, about our plans to do kind of a webinar mini conference online, virtual for starters. Physical locations might very well come out of that. You never know, maybe we'll mix online with a physical location at some point soon. But at any rate, we want to get the main planks out there, the main discussions going that will result in quarterly or biannual or at least annual reports, at the very least annual, about the structure of the mass media cartel, the fact that it is in effect, if not in actuality, a cartel, because it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it has every aspect of a cartel. So even if there were a couple I's not dotted or a couple T's not crossed in terms of genuinely defining it as a cartel, for all intents and purposes, it operates like one in all the important aspects. And there's been plenty of evidence in Washington via legislation that's been discussed that there'd be even more combinations and collaboration among media entities as it tries to use Congress to protect itself from competition under the guise that democracy needs to be preserved, and so does the robust American illustrious press. It is just a big begging for a handout and arbitrary protection. Because we know this, Ron, in a fair fight, if they really had to state their objectives up front and really admit their biases and or just have to compete with dare I say, perish the thought, people like myself or you or other RBN hosts or UK columnists, et cetera, down the line in the alternative media, if they just had to go toe-to-toe, they know that they'd have their gonads handed to them.
Yeah, they'd have to work a lot harder than they're working now.
That's for sure. And imagine if they did not automatically have the access to the financial resources that they have, supported as it is to a very high percentage by Big Pharma. Anybody that watches their NBC, CBS, ABC local affiliates, for example, sees almost endless medical and drug ads.
That's right. You know, you used to see soap and all kinds of products that were advertised on TV for programs and all, but now it's almost all medication. Oh, what does that tell you? We're the sickest people on earth. We got to have pills and tablets and shots and good grief, man. And even the side effects they tell you about, who would want to take them anyway? I mean, you have heart attacks and death a result from it. That's crazy.
It's worse than playing a country and western song backwards. They say
that's right.
Your wife comes back, your crops grow right, your car runs.
That's
it's far worse than that. I mean, yeah. I mean, sometimes words fail to describe the situation. But the bottom line is that we feel that by getting the discussion going, but by having the webinars, the conferences, et cetera, by producing the reports and looking at all these things, the licensing, the whole grid, the towers, how much power is in the towers, how they communicate, how an affiliate communicates with the mother station in New York or LA, the whole grid, how it works, the licensing, as I said, how they choose topics, are all the national topics, is all that information handed down from on high to the local affiliates? It very, very apparently is, but we want to know for sure if there's national or regional reporting. Do the affiliates have any leeway? Or are they just basically an echo chamber for the mothership in New York, ABC, CBS, NBC, and so on and so forth? We want to know it all, and we want to know the conditions, again, of the licensing. Are they living up to those conditions? Are the conditions even strict enough? Do they even make any sense? Are they designed to protect the true public interest? The questions being asked now, many more will be asked, and we hope that these conferences, these webinars will, with the public's participation, begin to answer these things. The COVID thing is very, very serious. There's a new video circulating called Died Suddenly. I've seen some mixed reviews. Some of my news colleagues are not real impressed with it. They believe that it might be a limited hangout to a point, and that it may have some things that can be discredited, which would thereby be used by the establishment to try and discredit the whole thing. On the other hand, there are those that see some, you know, considerable validity in this new expose on the COVID jabs, again, called Died Suddenly, and some see a lot of validity in it. I'm going to stay neutral on it. I only watched it once, kind of looked tired. There's a lot of concerns, including these.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Yeah, from a little big horn to the Rio Grande, it seems we've seen the last that we need stand. Well, all the flea markets and the paper routes, if you can't trade in bulk, you get muscled out.
And welcome to the final segment, the longest one, after the bottom of the hour station ID. Your host, Mark Anderson, host of Stop the Presses here, now running just Wednesdays, 2 to 3 Central, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. And I'm joined, per usual, by Ron Avery out of Seguin, doing the video engineering. We simulcast to livestream.com/Ron Avery/Stop the Presses. And speaking of visuals, of course, I describe these things for audio-only listeners. And we do have a caller out of Virginia. I'd ask the caller to hang on just a little bit. I'll do my best here. There's some things I want to get through a little bit. What we're looking at here, Ron, and this should be visible on the screen, is Walmart employee, an employee opened fire in Chesapeake, Virginia, killing six, police say. And the narrative is, we're talking about the media narrative and the webinar we want to have soon to begin our process producing reports exposing the mass media cartel. But now we look at the media reporting itself, in this case about so-called mass shootings. Of course, the basics are what we now call mass shootings are four or more people being shot, not counting the perpetrator. Now, the former terminology was multiple shootings. The word mass, I still would argue, does not apply. Mass means multitudes or large groups of people. A mass psychosis would be an entire population of a city or a state or even a nation. A mass flu or massive pandemic or epidemic would not be four or more people.
A mass flu that took over and got four people sick. It doesn't sound right.
you just caught on, right? Exactly. Any other subject other than shootings, the media is not going to use the word mass because they're being disingenuous so they can target the Second Amendment and, by extension, the First Amendment by making it sound worse than it is. Not that four people getting shot is an insignificant thing. Of course not. But it's not a mass shooting. Let's be honest. Okay? So the media is being disingenuous at best to make it sound in the public mind like an entire camp full of people on a excursion or some camp out or hunting trip or some sort of getaway or some sort of retreat or at a big city stadium or something involving at least thousands, if not tens of thousands or hundred thousands or millions of people, almost like something like that happened, but it's defined as four or more. And it says it right here in the opening paragraph, a Walmart employee opened fire inside a Chesapeake, Virginia store on Tuesday, law enforcement officials say, killing six people and wounding at least four others in the nation's latest mass shooting. And this article doesn't actually say it. I believe it doesn't, but many of them do say a mass shooting is defined as four or more. We also have a Kentucky caller. I will just ask him, like the Virginia caller, to hang on a moment. But at any rate, what happened here, Ron, and I know for a fact it's four or more, not counting the assailant, that's defined as mass. So in this case, it's six, they claim. What happened here, they say, is the employees got together for their one of their meetings with the boss, one of their managers, and to kind of go over the store, go over what's going on. And all of a sudden, this overnight team leader, it talks about in the second paragraph, they're saying is named Andre Bing, B-I-N-G, an overnight team leader at the store since 2010. He died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound, and he's the suspected gunman. And they say that, here's a quote. We are truly sad about the tragedy that took place in our community last night. The chief of police, I believe, was quoted as saying, we are all praying for the family, friends, and coworkers of everybody that's been affected by this senseless violence. Zaleski, this cop, said police responded to a 911 call shortly after 10 p.m. local time Tuesday evening at this Chesapeake, Virginia Walmart. Officers arrived at the scene within 2 minutes and entered the store. Police uncovered a pistol at the scene. There was no clear motive for the shooting. I'm showing this on the screen. The officer, Zaleski, said police have already executed a search warrant at the suspect's residence. The suspect, Mr. Bing, who we're told now shot himself, and Brianna Tyler, an employee at Walmart, said on ABC's Good Morning America Wednesday, another part of the mass media cartel, that she was still processing what unfolded at the store. Tyler said she and other employees were gathered inside the break room before their overnight shift when her manager appeared. I looked up and my manager just opened the door and he just opened fire, she said. He just started shooting throughout the entire break room. I watched multiple people drop down to the floor, whether they were ducking for cover or they were hit. And Tyler said he fired in her direction but missed. He looked directly at me, she said, but luckily he missed my head by an inch or two. Tyler said that the gunman, this manager, did not say a word, quote unquote, while he carried out the killings. And of course, they've got to say this, typical stock mass media cartel reporting, because there's this piling on effect. They want to keep raising the fever pitch of fear and insecurity, along with calling anything involving four or more people a mass shooting. Here it goes on to say, the shooting comes just days after five people were killed and 17 others wounded at an LGBTQ club in Colorado Springs, Colorado, this past Saturday night. Now, what's going on here, Ron, is kind of multifaceted, but one thing that is apparent when you read this article is that the media doesn't seem to express any curiosity or carry out any investigation, at least not yet, on why a store employee would do this and act like such an automaton, as if he were programmed or drugged or something. The question's not even asked. It's just described in kind of, you know, obvious detail. What's the proper terminology here? Just the obvious bare facts, the upfront description of what happened, without asking any questions about why somebody would behave in such a way. And so what the normal stock response is, Ron, of the media, is that rather than asking the question of why the assailant who's allegedly killed himself, this Mr. Bing, why he would do this in such a robotic fashion, without any talking, without any declaration of purpose, without any written note of purpose, evidently. Apparently, this is one of the few shooters that doesn't have a manifesto waiting in the wings, at least not yet, not that we know of. But why this person would act so robotically, and so the media doesn't ask that question, and if they're true to form, as they always are, Ron, they'll come down on people that do ask the question. If Mark Anderson or Ron Avery asks, well, could this shooter have been put up to this by someone else? Could he have been drugged in such a way, at the very least, that he would do such a thing? But even if this person's drugged, why would they carry this out without having some sense of malice, some sense of purpose for doing it? And heaven forbid we should ask the question, was this some kind of Manchurian candidate, just asking, who was maybe drugged in such a way or influenced in such a way where they were open to suggestion, and that they carried out the killing based on some sort of mental or psychological programming? And the mass media cartel would pounce on me and call me a conspiracy theorist, but I'm only asking the question. If the answer is no, fine. But the thing is I don't expect that the media, Ron, will even ask that question. And if somebody does, they'll come down on that person who's trying to investigate, who's trying to do what the media should be doing but isn't. And then that person becomes the villain for asking the question. And before I take the callers, Ron, I'll just take your comment real quick, and then we'll go to the callers.
Okay. Yeah, I think they may be trying to make this look normal. Oh, it was just a normal guy. He had a gun. You know, that's what normal people do when they get together with guns, is they go kill people. So, you know, there's nothing unusual about this. Why go into his problem, if he even has a problem? Because that's what happens when you have guns in society. They get in the hands of normal people, and the normal people kill other people, which, you know, is an absurdity. I mean, if that's what they're trying to show, that's a lie.
Now, that's very interesting, Ron. That's a rather adroit and perceptive look at this. Real quick, before we take the callers, I believe we have three now. I'll be very brief here. The one Saturday at the Colorado Springs Gay Nightclub had the telltale AR-15. It had the average white guy who owns the AR-15, who supposedly had left some sort of digital trail or paper trail or both, that he allegedly hated gays. So that one fits more of the stock, demonize the person with the ideally suited firearm that deserves most of the demonization, and that is the AR-15. But in this case, in lack of a better theory, I think yours is pretty good, Ron, in that now they can change the polarity of this, change the perspective a little bit, and say, while the one in Colorado was your typical hateful white guy that maliciously and violently hates gays, and he's willing to use the worst kind of weapon there is, an AR-15, and actually carry out his angst and kill gays, kill homosexuals. In the other case here in Virginia, what that is just the very fact that the most normal guy that people have known for 10 years, this guy, we're told this guy was the store manager or an employee at this Walmart for over 10 years, since 2010. Even he, if you put a gun in his hands, becomes a violent, mindless killer, a robotic killer, because there's that gun combined with a person. So that could very well be the propaganda point here, Ron. Take an average guy, he's fine, but put a gun in his hand, and that could be your boss next who's killing you. So is that not a at least plausible propaganda point to go along with the typical hate crime committing AR-15 owner? So I think they're looking for more than one kind of villain here. If in fact this is a movement to carry out planned mass shootings for the objective of civilian disarmament, if that's what we're seeing, I'm using the word if, and I'm not at this point, I'm not saying the shooting didn't happen, but we don't have enough information to know for absolutely sure. But if that's the objective, then they may have more than one technique or scenario that they are willing to paint to do this. And that might be, again, the gay-hating AR-15 gun owner. He's kind of the stock in trade. But now they have the average mild-mannered boss or supervisor who merely gets a gun in his hand and then goes Harry Caray. Maybe that's the new archetype, right, Ron? Maybe that's the new model, because maybe the AR-15 gay-hating model, maybe that one's getting a little worn out. I'm just, granted, this is speculation with a capital S. But I'm going to get to the callers now. Maybe a quick comment, Ron, while I adjust the screen here. And let me see, to take the callers in the order received, I got to get this in front of me here. Chris from Virginia, are you still with us?
Yeah, hey guys, happy Thanksgiving. So this thing with in Chesapeake, and I'll just say that down there in that section of Virginia, it has nothing to do with this, but it is pretty ghetto down there in that little section down there. That's Norfolk, Virginia Beach, and Chesapeake. But to me, this really, when I sniff it, it smells pretty real. It smells real. It smells grassroots. Because the takeaway, because basically, the media didn't rush right in with a narrative. Now they always pump gun control. They do that every time. But they didn't come in. It doesn't seem like a setup. It seems like it was really just real. Just some guy went off, just got sick and tired of, I mean, he's been working there for over 10 years. and so that's my take on that. One takeaway, though, after reading the American, or when I looked at the UK Mail and saw all these details that you just went through, I'm like going, who's the problem here? Our media, our communist media, is the enemy, because they're not. Look at UK Daily Mail. Look, they've got all those details in there that we didn't get. I'm telling you, you're gonna wake up one day. The people, when they figure out how manipulative the media is and how much of a problem that they are, you're gonna see stuff happen. I mean, so I'm not gonna go into what you're gonna see happen, but that's the big problem, is the media. And that's the only thing I'd say is it's funny how we always got to get all of our news from the UK Daily Mail. But it seems like it seems pretty real to me that happened. And I think it'll just go away. The only other thing that I would make is I saw the pictures, but they were daylight, like in the morning, and the FBI was there. So what the hell is the FBI doing there, right? Like what? But okay, so is there a field office in Chesapeake? I don't know, but there is one in Richmond. And if anyone were to, if I were to make a guess about that, it would just be that they're trying to, they know their credibility is getting thin, and they just showed up. The FBI.
Yeah, of course. The main headquarters, I believe, is in Quantico, Virginia. And so, yeah, that's in not only the FBI's turf, but that's CIA turf too, Virginia. And Maryland and whatnot, that basically larger beltway, greater beltway area there. I've been there many a times covering Congress for American Free Press in recent years. But yeah, Chris, I appreciate your comments. Yeah, I mean, I generally take the approach that, okay, I'll take this event at face value for the time being. What Ron and I have often talked about, and I'll be brief, we got a couple more callers, is that, however, when you contact the police typically after these events and ask them for a complete report, you know, where were the bodies strewn? Where were the empty shell casings? You know, enough details to where you get a real, you know, upfront and personal kind of firsthand look at this as much as possible. They're always reticent to provide those things. It's always take our word for it, take our word for it. But if it were a car accident, they would gladly hand out, you know, well, this car came this way, and here's a chart. The semi-truck came that way. And they'd probably give you detailed drawings and photographs if you really needed them. But when it comes to these people...
Yeah, it's not propagandistically sensitive information, right? They can't use it for propaganda, so whatever. Here you go. This is the accident that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll hop off here, sir, so you get your next call.
No, I appreciate your comments, though. Thanks for calling, Chris. Mike from Kentucky.
Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion that something's not right about his manifesto, or they would have come out with it. Like, maybe he's blaming, you know, something that is an established industry they don't want blamed. Or they're still trying to protect, you know, the going postal Prozac psychotropic drug industry that may, you know, that has been blamed for a lot of these shootings, where people decide they don't like the side effects anymore, and they quit their medicine and go postal, which to me, there's, you know, that should have caused those drugs to be pulled from the market a long time ago, just like a lot of other stuff that we, but, you know, it's the 21st century. The intelligence community has been playing around with trying to make whatever Manchurian candidates for literally decades. If they haven't done it by now, they've sure wasted a lot of time and research and tax dollars. For those who are new to the topic and want a knee-jerk conspiracy theorist, you need to hit them with the English guy, the British illusionist that did the experiments on BBC Four. I think his show was called The Experiments, and he did one called The Assassin, where he mimicked the story of Sirhan B. Sirhan, and remembering his last memory was a woman in a polka dot dress. Well, he used that as a trigger and screened out, you know, 60 or 80 people until he got down to two or four, and then screened those down to where he found his prime candidate. And it was a real propaganda against guns. I mean, he handed this guy a gun. He said, this is just like the gun that every boy is given in America at the age of 10. I don't know about you, but I never got a gun at 10. It's amusing for some of the British culture overtones there. But he actually, as they depict it, he programs a guy to shoot a celebrity on stage, and the audience had to have been in on it because nobody panicked and ran out of the theater. So, you know, I don't know how that they, you know, the way it's presented, the audience wasn't told what was going to happen, but they had a gun taped under the seat, and the woman in the polka dot dress touched him. He'd been conditioned for these triggers, a ringtone on her phone. And you know, just go look at that. I mean, it's like 40 minutes. It's worth watching two or three times until you go, oh, this guy's not kidding. He programmed an assassin. But there's also scopolamine, which apparently works for a lot of people, and it's a lot quicker than screening out, you know, 100 candidates until you find one that's susceptible. I've been researching this since I heard on For the People Radio Network about a psychiatrist out in Portland or Seattle that did this with a patient, isolated him in a mountain cabin to try to make an assassin to kill his wife, and he got caught. So they know this is possible.
That's interesting. One more thing before you let go. What was the name of the show?
The Assassin. Darren Brown, The Experiments, and the particular episode is called The Assassin.
Okay, thank you for that. Yeah, viewers can go to the archive and check it out. I'm going to check that out. Yeah, my view, before we get to the third and final caller, my view is like Columbo and Sherlock Holmes. You go into these things making no presuppositions at all, but you have everything on the table, be it drugs, be it Manchurian candidate programming combined with drugs, the original Manchurian Candidate, the movie with Frank Sinatra, which came out at a very sensitive time when it was produced, because it was not long after the Kennedy affair on Elm Street there in Dallas.
It was in the theaters a year before Kennedy was assassinated. Frank Sinatra says that he gave the script to him and asked him, should we do this movie? And Kennedy said, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I thought it was after. My mistake.
No, it was in the theaters for a year, and they pulled it about the same time he got assassinated, and a lot of people think that's a conspiracy theory, but it was actually because the ticket sales had failed, and then the Frank Sinatra estate would not release that on VHS, so nobody saw it from 1963 until 1983. That movie disappeared.
Yeah, I'm glad you corrected me on that. I thought it came out right after the assassination, regardless of that.
No, they pulled it from the theaters right before, but it was just because the ticket sales were so bad. And, you know, a lot of people get that mixed up, but, I mean, I've researched it because it's, you know, I've been researching this stuff for 25 years. There's not a lot of conspiracy theory to it. There's people that get disinformation and mixed up about stuff. But I have to wonder if the CIA's developed a special form of scopolamine that leaves no residue. They use it in horse racing. I didn't know that. But I'll let you go before we run out of time.
Thanks for your call, Mike. I got to try and get one more caller under the wire here. I'm kind of doing the limbo a bit. Thanks again for the informative information. We'll follow through. Pat from Texas, we only got about a minute or two. Sorry about that. Going as fast as we can if you're still there.
All right. I will. I know I have the last minute after Mike. All right. For one thing, y'all, there is an app called the U.S. Constitution, and you go right to it. You can read the whole thing. No looking for it or anything. And when after you open it, I mean, it's got stars on the top and flat and the stripes on the bottom. Okay, everybody needs to know that. We, especially you, Ron, the Constitution. Everybody, we want it. And as an old person, I have a lot of experience with spirituality. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his game. And he will make a mistake a lot of times, and he comes after the wrong person, okay? I mean, one time there was a guy named Kelly Varner. He was a very good preacher. I think it was from Virginia. And he was coming to Florida. And when he came, everybody named Kelly. I said, oh, Lord, I'm praying for all the Kellys, because one of my friends said I got to get money because my friend Kelly, her house burned down. I said, no. Yeah, I've noticed that. So we must be binding the devil up over our town and our city and everything like that. Okay?
Kick the devil out in the name of Jesus. Absolutely. Thanks for calling. Got to cut you short. The inexorable march of time. Everybody, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the next show here on RBN. We'll see you next Wednesday. Hopefully, we'll be discussing some Kennedy stuff then. It depends, but we'll see you next time here on Stop the Presses. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, callers. See you next time.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.